accurately and completely as possible the events of 50 years. The roots, the influences, the changes, the directions. And this will be done not through analysis, but through a telling of the facts, and often in the voices of the people of this community themselves, through your voices. When it is finished, I hope this book will do several things. First, I hope it will help fill in an important chapter in American history. As you know, there have been three main books to date on the movement as a whole. All of them were done in the early 60s. All three are useful in some respects, but are highly inaccurate in others. Now, that is not entirely the fault of the writers, because, of course, in those days, this organization was not as open to public scrutiny as it is now, and it could not have been easy for writers to then discover the truth and interpret it correctly. Those books are somewhat negative in tone and places also, and they are also now, obviously, very much out of date. There is presently, I'm interested to hear about this manuscript which is being prepared, but there is presently, for the general public, no book which deals with the world community of al-Islam in the West and the teachings of Waaz bin Muhammad. Except for a few articles in newspapers and magazines, and an occasional treatment on television, the world community of al-Islam in the West is not known to the general public and not well understood. The few people I have met who do know of the changes have not yet grasped their significance, their implications for their own lives. So I hope that this book will be the book to set the record straight for the general public and to bring the world community of al-Islam in the West directly into the public consciousness. It will be the story of a community in evolution, and it will also be a story of a portion of the American community who, even in the deepest despair of the ghettos in Detroit in 1930, did not lose sight of their own dignity. And this is a story of human dignity, of significance, not only for readers whose skin is black, but for readers whose skin is white. This book will show how a movement, which was a social movement with religious trappings, became a religious movement with a message of importance for society, and how this is consistent. For as conscientious Muslims, you show the world religion is not something separate from society. It is not something for Sunday only. It belongs to the fabric of daily life, and it is only on that level we can achieve a just society. I am sometimes asked if I am Muslim by sisters who see I come to the masjid with my hair and arms and legs covered. I am not Muslim, but I dress that way when I come to the masjid out of respect for this place of worship. Since many of you have asked me about my own religion, I will tell you, since I am inquiring so deeply into yours, that I am a Unitarian. Now, Unitarians began as a persecuted minority in Europe several hundred years ago, when they split off from the Christian church because the Unitarians could not accept the notion of the divinity of Jesus Christ. That is why they were called Unitarians rather than Trinitarians. Today in America, the Unitarian church functions as a kind of religious umbrella group for people who are linked not so much by the details of a particular creed as by their shared convictions in individual freedom, in ethically responsible behavior in society, in cherishing and spreading the universal truths as taught by all the prophets. And I take that from the charter of the merger of the Unitarian Universalist Association in the early 60s. Those words are direct. And also, a common belief in harmony among all faiths and among all peoples. I am not Muslim, but the fact I am dedicated to this book and I am not Muslim is testimony to the significance of your movement for those who are non-Muslim. In his Patriotism Day address, Imam Muhammad spoke of the need to break out of narrow Christianity and narrow Islam to come together and discover our common universal truth. Some of you have asked how I became interested in the world community of Al-Islam in the West. Well, I was a reporter for a newspaper in Newport News, Virginia. I wrote long features for the Sunday magazine on a variety of subjects, including religion. And then one day, I got a call from a member of the black community, a woman who's a high-ranking official in the local NAACP. She suggested I write a profile of the Muslims in the Nation of Islam. Well, it was 1976, and I didn't know about any changes. And I told her I thought that was a good idea, but I didn't think anybody in the Nation of Islam would talk to me. She suggested I call the local minister of the mosque. So I did. I called Muhammad Asadi. And instead of being icily put off, I was warmly welcomed. And Muhammad Asadi proved to be not only polite, he proved to be generous with his time, understanding of my ignorance, and an eloquent spokesman of his faith. My interest in Islam was born then. If it were not for Muhammad Asadi and his readiness to help me and to open himself, I would not have written those articles, I would not have developed the idea of a book, and I would not have become so committed that I would move to Chicago to make it the center of my life. Beginning with the information given me by Muhammad Asadi, I eventually produced a very lengthy two-part series on Islam for our Sunday magazine. It was the first treatment of Islam ever to appear in that newspaper. It was also the first time this very southern, very reactionary newspaper had given extensive space and positive play to a segment of the black community. That first Sunday, we ran a beautiful photograph of a young Muslim child in Islamic dress on the cover of the magazine. For years and years before that, the publisher of this newspaper had banned anything of the kind. We had decided in our department of the newspaper to go ahead and run it and run the whole series without mentioning anything to top management. And the fact that we were able to publish it and we were not fired for it was viewed as a real breakthrough by those of us who worked for the newspaper and by the black community. In fact, at the time, Muhammad Asadi told me it was something close to a miracle. I managed to pull it off. Well, a week ago, Dr. Naeem Akbar stood here and he gave a very fine talk in which he mentioned the state of Virginia several times in a not too kind way. Well, I'm a Virginian born and bred, and I can tell you that he's right, that Virginia may be the most backward-looking of all the states. It has suffered under terrible leadership. But there's change even in Virginia. And that series on Islam, incidentally, did go on to win first place in journalistic competition in the state of Virginia. I'll tell you another question I am often asked in connection with this book. My white friends and acquaintances always want to know why I'm so interested in black history. They ask the question respectfully and out of honest curiosity. I tell them that their question reveals one of the purposes of my book, because I feel it is a mistake to separate the history of our society into black categories and white categories. The story of this community is your story and my story. The lessons to be learned from this history are of equal value to us all. In our community of humankind, it is important to know who we are and where we have come from, because only in accepting responsibility for the past can we act responsibly in the present and in the future. It is my purpose to bring the history of this community alive in the pages of a book. I am at the beginning of a long road of research and writing. I've only just moved to Chicago to begin my task, and I humbly ask your help in the months to come as I deepen my understanding of religion and of history. I will be a familiar face in this community for a long time yet, and I will eventually be making visits to Muslim communities all over the country in my quest for information. I thank you for your guidance to date, which has already been considerable, and all that is to come. With the help of God, this will be a book which will be read and respected by the general public and by historians, by Muslims and by non-Muslims, in this country and abroad. Thank you.
All praise to Allah. We thank Sister Mary Edwards for her comments. May Allah bless her and her endeavors. And we look forward to the book that she is publishing, she's writing, and I anticipate that the more she learns, the more she studies about this community, the more she'll be inspired to appreciate the religion of Al-Islam. And she does it. I believe she has a beautiful concept of what this community represents now because she's become so engrossed in it. But all praise to Allah. There's much, much, much in this community and what has happened in this community that bears witness that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah, that God, and that Muhammad is a messenger of God, and that Almighty God has had a plan that has been moving in the world society since the beginning of time. And that we are in the days of the fulfillment of that mission that Allah established and began. And in the realization, in the blossoming of the realization of this message in this community, that the realization, the blossoming of the true teachings of Al-Islam as it revealed to Prophet Muhammad 1400 years ago, as that understanding, as that light is coming to bear in this community, in this day and time, among these people, you are going to see the majesty of Almighty God. You're going to see and understand and realize that Allah is the answer, that God is the answer to the problems of this society, and you're going to see that with a kind of light and understanding that will touch every aspect of human life in human society. Allahu Akbar. This is something that America is going to know, inshallah, through your work, through your book, and through the books of other people. Because as you have come and just simple, with a sincere heart, any sincere person who looks upon this community and what has happened in this community is going to be caught up like that magnetic field that brought all of those pieces of land together in that experiment in my grade school days. You cannot help it because the element of sincerity in your heart will not let you rest You will not be satisfied with just a surface examination, with just a surface look of what's going on here. If you're a sincere, any sincere person, and when they read the sincere writing, when they read your sincere writing about this community, other sincere people are going to be just as much caught up as you have been. And it is not something, I'm not saying bragging about this community per se, about Bilalian people, nothing racist or ethnic has anything to do with it. I'm talking about the power of Allah. I'm talking about the power and the greatness of Almighty God that reaches people. That reaches people, and it says in the Quran, in talking about this book, in talking about this day and time, that they will try to put out the light of Allah with their mouths. That they will try everything to. The Satan said, I'm going to go before them and behind them, from their right and from their left, and I'm going to do it. You're not going to find most of them grateful for what you have done and for your bounties and your mercies that you have bestowed upon them. But Allah says, do it. Go and do your thing. You ain't going to have no way. Well, you know, Allah will have. When I come with my light and I reveal my light, manifest my light, there won't be no chance that any of those who follow you, I feel hell with all of them. I feel hell with you, with all of them. But there's not going to be a great many. There's not going to be a great many of people. No people, nobody who is sincere in their heart looking for the light. Almighty God has the capacity and ability to bring the light of understanding to the minds of people. And that is what Allah says. All praise due to Allah, and so that's what's happening. So, we have an opportunity. You know, our book hasn't been written yet. The other books that Dr. Ansari has not been written yet. There are a number of people who are doing things. There are a lot of things that Allah has in store that he's working and developing all over the world to bring people into the understanding of what's going on, what Islam is all about. Now, you have a chance to earn some of the blessings of Allah. You have an opportunity, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about Muslim brothers and sisters. We have an opportunity to earn some of the blessings of Allah before the light comes to the people from somebody else. You have an opportunity to take it to them. You have an opportunity to take that light to them so that they won't say, well, why didn't you bring it to me, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so? We have an opportunity to take that light, and we can do it. We can do it word of mouth, grapevine. Is the best way of conveying the message. A lot of people don't read books. A lot of people don't read books. Don't read anything. You know, they get their information from the 6 o'clock news. The Hulk, you know. Their whole concept of life is taken off the television, the news tube. They look at the Hulk and Spider-Man and they set their whole life according to what they see in the television. So we have to get on the case, brothers and sisters. We must get on the case, in all seriousness. In all seriousness. There's a great number of people who will not be reached except through our carrying the message to them. So we must do that. And in learning the blessings of Allah, you know, you become assured. I was listening to a tape of the Imam, Yahu YC Muhammad, yesterday. We had a regional meeting in Masjid Wali Muhammad in Detroit. And myself and Brother Sidney Sharif rode up there together. And all the way up there and all the way back, we were rehearsing. We were relating to one another, feeding one another the wonders of Almighty God, the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, the things that we can see in the creation itself, and the beauty that we saw in the coming together of the brothers and sisters, the Imams of the Midwest, for this purpose of regional meeting, regional discussion of our propagation activities, of our education. There was a representative there from the United States Bureau of Census, another government facility that asked and recognizes potential of this community and ask our help in carrying to the communities around the world, the Malawian community, the information for the Census Bureau, which in the last count manifested some 7 to 9% of miscount of the Malawian people. And there are great economic and political ramifications that are tied in with an accurate count. So we are going to support and utilize our efforts in the cause of getting our Malawian people counted in the 1980 census, which is coming up. But as we related, as we were riding and talking, Brother Sidney Shoes and myself, there was just a great realization. You see the fruit of your deeds. You see the fruit of your activity. You see the fruit of your life as a Muslim when you start to just look at it. When you start to look within yourself and just start to contemplate and rehearse what Allah has blessed you with, what you've come in contact with, the things that have been taught in the lectures by Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, in the wisdom that is in the Quran, and in the history of Prophet Muhammad. And as you start to rehearse and contemplate on these things, you start to see all kinds of blessings. You see the fruit. You see the fruit of your activity. And that fruit is something that ties you back in with the essence of your creation, the essence of your nature. You start to see and identify things about yourself as a human being that gives you a realization of the dignity of the human being. The human being is a dignified creature. Now, for those of you who are sitting here giving me a signal for time, I'm doing what Imam Wallace Muhammad asked me to do. You sit here waiting on me to sit down so the announcer will come back up and speak. And you're giving me a signal for time.
If anybody can bring anything, but I'll look at it.
and examine it. But you, I'll ask you, when you come, let me say in the dream, you're about fighting, you know what I'm saying? The only way you can whoop me, beat me, is to come yourself. You got to come for a fight if you're going to bring one. You got to bring a fight to whoop if you're going to bring, if you're going to come to whoop mine. The only way to beat Muhammad, brother and sister, that's there!
The Imam Abdul Haq. I needed a few minutes to get some information. Dear beloved people, I want to begin with a reading from Quran. Chapter has been translated from Arabic into English as the expansion. The Arabic word is al-inshirah. It begins for you, your breast. This is the first verse. Have we not expanded for you your breast? Breast refers to the heart, to the spiritual conscience, and the intellect, and it also refers to understanding. If we say a man's breath is constricted, then a tight drawn in, it could mean a number of things, and among those things, it could mean that the man has limited, very limited, a narrow understanding. It also refers to the fame of that individual person. Are speaking of Prophet Muhammad and the blessing of Almighty God upon him. Verse 2, and removed from you your burden. Verse 3, which did gall your back or weigh down your back. Verse 4, and raised high the esteem in which you are held. Verse 5, so truly, with every difficulty, there is relief. Verse 6, truly, with every difficulty, there is relief. Verse 7, therefore, when you are free from your immediate task, which is translated here simply as Lord, and to your Lord turn all your attention. All praises unto Allah, who speaks the truth. Now, dear beloved believers, I have read this chapter that brings our attention to the nature of human struggle. Or I might say to the dynamic of the human spirituality and its social makeup and spiritual makeup. And I read from a translation that is done by, let's see if I can quickly get the name here. Ibrahim al-Zughi Muhammad. And this is a very recent translation. It also carries a transliteration. The printing of this book has been financed by our dear brother and great financial support, Jabir Muhammad, whom many of you still know as Herbert Muhammad, the manager of Muhammad Ali. Now, he has delivered into our hands here in Chicago well over 7,000 of these books, and we are planning the distribution of them over to the official here, and most likely we will begin sending right away these books, a share of these books, an equal share of these books, to the great centers where our membership is concentrated, so that as many people as possible that belong to our community will get these books. We believe that we'll have 1,000 here for Chicago, and already we've passed out copies of this translation and transliteration. Transliteration carries the pronunciation as close as possible, and I believe this is one of the better transliterations I've seen. It carries pronunciation as close as possible, but no transliteration can give you correct Arabic pronunciation. It can only help you. You have to learn from an Arabic speaking teacher or from a teacher who's qualified to teach you Arabic reading. This book is a great help, and so far I'm very pleased with the English translation. Yes. There is a common thing saying in the Arabic language, and I read it myself and even in an Arab primer. Which means if you want to succeed, then struggle hard. You have to try hard. And God is saying to us that this chapter called Expansion, that Prophet Muhammad himself was one who labored very hard. And God was communicating to him directly. And God was aiding his struggle on, and letting him know that he's moving in the right direction, he has the right idea, and that you have to keep struggling, even during the time of ease. With every difficulty, there is ease. Or behind or after every difficulty, there is ease. If we would just understand that bit, that little bit, and that's a great bit, believe me, about the nature of human struggle, brothers and sisters, we won't give up so quick. Right at the point where you're about ready to give up, believe me, that might be the point when things are going to open up. So never give up. Struggle hard. And even when the time gets easier for you, you know, and things that there's no need to push hard, find something to put your shoulder behind. Keep pushing hard, because life is advanced because of struggles with our brothers and sisters. And Muslims are with us, and they love to put their shoulder to the wheel. It is only because of this kind of spirit in the history of our community that we have come to the success that we have come to in terms of our unity, in terms of our great numbers, and in terms of our financial accumulation. We could not have accumulated the financial worth that we accumulated, reached the financial goals that we did reach under the Elijah Muhammad, had we not been willing to struggle hard, to put our shoulder to the wheel, and keep pushing. And every time there's a job finished, we turn around and say, where's the next job? That's the spirit that will get us more and more to the, and closer to the goals we want. All praise due to Allah. This chapter is telling us, dear brothers and sisters, that this is a nature that Allah has put in his human creature. And not only in the human being, this is in every creature. You might recall when I began talking about the need for moral development in this community and the correct kind of spiritual vision in this community. I try to illustrate that by saying your moral makeup is a muscle. And like your physical muscle, if you don't use it, it will collapse. Now believe me, the whole human makeup, your desire for physical improvements in your life, or material improvements in your life, your desire for spiritual improvement in your life, your desire for improved relations with your loved ones, whatever it is, believe me, the more you struggle, the more progress you realize. The whole human being is total concept, a total entity. His spirituality, his intellect, everything has this particular nature given to it by God. It operates like a physical muscle. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. That drives you to use what you got. Hate people that tell you sit down and relax until something comes by you. Hate them. Don't hate the people that drive you to use what you have, because in using what you have, you're going to become very quick to do things for yourself and by yourself. Personal appreciation on this national telephone hookup to the persons from our community and from without our community that supported the testimonial dinner that was held at Hyatt Regency Hotel downtown in the city of Chicago, where we are now. Many people are to be thanked, and I can't thank them all, but let me begin with the man who himself came to us with this idea and took on the responsibility to make it a success. Special thanks to Imam Clyde Rahman of Cleveland. And to the brothers and sisters here, among them Sister Camila Hassan, Brother Nara Ali, and several others, Brother John Omar and many others that worked with them to make this testimonial dinner a success. A person that was not part of the committee is also very much responsible for the success of this testimonial dinner. And that is the man that gave the first dinner in recognition of my leadership and our success. That is my brother Jabir Muhammad. He himself bought, I believe, 100 or 200 tickets. 200. 62. That's close to 200. I wasn't missing it that very much. 162 tickets. 162 tickets. And because of his connection with bankers, lawyers, and very distinguished and well-known people in the outer community, we had many, many, many high-ranking people at that dinner. And those people expressed strong support for the positive things that we have done in this community in terms of our outreach efforts, our efforts to reach out from ourselves and become involved in the work of improving society with other people outside of the Nation of Islam, or outside of the world community of Islam in the West. Among the people who are on the head table, or sat at the head table, is the mayor of Gary, Indiana, Mayor Richard Hatcher, who spoke and left us with very enlightening words. Rabbi Chaim Perlmutter and his lovely wife, who also spoke very courageously in support of the moral things and human aims that we work for. And the Reverend R.N. Gooden from Tallahassee, Florida, who really inspired us with his inspiring testimony. James Compton from Urban League, the Reverend Johnny Coleman, well known. He also spoke very beautifully, and I would say very courageously. And I hope you all understand. You know, just 5 years back, no one could speak until the order came down. And usually you got it directly from a captain or a first officer. And most people feared to speak in our community. Congresswoman Representative Curtis Collins, who now president of the Congressional Black Caucus, we appreciated her presence and her comforting, encouraging words that she left with us. Congressman Bennett Stewart, Brother Jabir Muhammad, Commissioner Leonora Cartwright, and the world champion Muhammad Ali. There were many others. I saw the Imam from Oakland, California, Imam Muhammad Abdullah, he was present. I saw the Imam from Cincinnati, Ohio, the Imam from Los Angeles, California, Imam Hassan. I saw several of the Imams, and we thank the Imam and the Muslims from the masjids throughout the nation for their strong support that they gave to the testimonial dinner. That's the kind of an affair that brings us new friends, and strengthen those friends that we have and improve our image in the outer community. So we want more of those affairs. And as soon as we can establish a member of our community's leadership, are a good friend from the outer community who can be the one to draw people together, I'll be happy. Sooner the better. But I don't like a lot of scriptures paid to me, but right now that's the best way to get support, they think. So there are banquets and tributes going on all over the nation, you know, in my name. For you imams to establish a good record of your own so we can give some in your name. Some of them are doing very well. I think we're going to have an imam pretty soon, a few imams, that we can support and introduce to the outer community, let them know the wonderful things that they're doing. And they also can get these testimonials. Or can be the receiver of the tribute, pardon me, at the testimonial. It's good sometimes to take note of the things that are currently in the news. And I don't know how many of you keep your eyes and ears open. Since I was a small child, back as far back as I can remember, I have been raised